Thank you. As we know, in this week's Parsha, Parshas Lech Lecha, we are introduced to the very important mitzvah of Bris Milah. And we have many practices nowadays that we do when performing a Bris Milah. And what I'd like to speak about is one of those minhagim that I never looked into till this week. So it's of interest to me. I hope it's of interest to everyone else as well. After we perform the actual mitzvah, and there's so much Torah about the milah and the priya and when it was given, is this a mitzvah that was given to Avraham Avinu? Is it a mitzvah that was given later in Parshas Tazria? Whatever you understand about that, we've gotten the Bris Milah done. Now we all have the minhag, I think in Svardim and Ashkenazim have the same minhag, and that is a minhag haga'onim, that we fill up a cup of wine and we recite a Bori Pri HaGafen after we've performed the Bris Milah, and then we say a whole bunch of brachos, Kayemes Ayelad Azeh La'aviv U'Imo, and we say a whole bunch of tfilos and bakashos on behalf of this child. Now this practice of filling up a cup of wine is not mentioned in the Gemara. The Gemara does have it on some occasions when we perform a mitzvah, but not always. And the Beis Yosef is wondering, where does it come from? Why should we fill up a cup of wine and say a Bar Piyar Gafen when performing the mitzvah of a Bris Milah? So some Rishonim say it's Mishum Chavivus HaMitzvah. You elevate a mitzvah when you take a cup of wine and make a Bar Piyar Gafen, which is the reason why we recite it when we do a Pidyon HaBen as well. There's no real reason to have a cup of wine. It's not like Kiddush, it's not like Havdalah, but we do it just to elevate the mitzvah, to show that we are giving more Chashivus to the mitzvah that we are performing. And the Beis Yosef then writes, maybe the reason why is because Ein Omrim Shira Ela Al Hayayin. The Gemara has a principle that the only way for a person to really have simcha, for a person to really bring himself to a sense of Shira, is if you have wine that goes along with it. And since Bris Milah is supposed to be something we are very excited about, therefore we have the practice to fill up a cup of wine. So many Rishonim write that this bracha that we say, Baruch Pri HaGafen and Asher Kidash Yudid Mi Beten, we recite a whole bracha with the Kayem Esayel Razeh. So some Rishonim say that that is supposed to be recited by the Mohel. And this is quoted not only in the Rishonim, but it's quoted the Halacha and the Bach as well, that the Mohel is the one who has the right to these brachas, because after all, he started the mitzvah, and now he's just going to continue and say the Baruch Pri HaGafen to finish off and to enhance the mitzvah that he has already started. But other Rishonim say that this is not the practice at all. Other Rishonim say that we give it over to the Shliach Tzibur, or in our terms, we don't have a designated Shliach Tzibur by a bris. We call somebody up who we want to be mechabed, and we ask them to be the one to make this bracha, and that's the way the Beis Yosef assumes as well, that we have whoever it is going to be designated makes this bracha. One of the tefillos that we recite after a Bris Milah is performed is this beautiful tefillah of Kayem Es HaYelad HaZeh La'aviv U'Imo. Now the truth is, I never really appreciated the tefillah until a few weeks ago. I was at a bris of a couple that is nominally religious, and they had Rabbi Perlstein was the Mohel. He does an excellent job at Milah, but I never knew that he also does an excellent job at a irreligious ceremony. And he did, not an irreligious, but he, when it's a community that might not be as understanding of the practices as many of us might be, so he was amazing. So what did he do? At each step of the process throughout the Bris Milah, he was explaining, before he went ahead and did it, he explained what exactly was going on. And then they recited the bracha Kayem Es HaYelad HaZeh, and he then had one of the family members read this beautiful tefillah in English, which gave it such a meaning to me. I never really thought about the words, and when you think about what we're saying in this tefillah, it's a very beautiful tefillah. So there's an interesting discussion that Rabbi Kiva Eger has. We say after the Bris Milah, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kayem Es HaYelad HaZeh, we give a bracha that this child should live and should have a healthy life and a long life, and he should go by this name. So Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes from the Mahari Kash that he says, B'chol Vlad Sheyesh B'leiduso Nidnud Aveira. Let's say you have a child who was born and it was a illegitimate child, meaning it was not born in the halachic way. There could be many ways in which one might understand that to be playing out. Either it means somebody had an extramarital affair and that's a real mamzer, or it means maybe that a woman didn't go to the mikvah and now she was with her husband when she was in nida. There might be many ways of extrapolating from this what exactly it means, but he says, even if it's only an issa d'rabbanan, so even if you're talking about something that is not so severe, Ein Omrim, you cannot say, Kayem Es HaYelad HaZeh. How can I give a bracha to a child that came out of an illegitimate marriage or an illegitimate union? How can you say, we give a bracha, you should live a long life and you should have prosperity and you should be one? What do you mean? This came from a terrible source. And he says, I don't really understand how we can say that at such a Bris Milah. That's what Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes in the Maharil. From the Mahari Kash. But the truth is that the Maharil, who is really the basis of all the Psak, Halach, and Arachayim of the Ramah, the Maharil already addresses this issue, and the Maharil says he was very unhappy because there was once a story in his community in Germany where they had a pnuya. They had an unmarried woman who became pregnant somehow, and she now gave birth to a child, which obviously was be'isr. She wasn't allowed to be married to this man. She wasn't married to a man. She had a child with a man, not really being married to him, and came time for the bris milah. Look, he is a Jewish child. You have to give him a bris milah. And when it came to the person getting up to make the bracha, he said, Hodu LaHashem ki li olam chasdo. He left out the words ki tov. How can you say Hodu LaHashem ki tov? He's wonderful, and this is what he did? This is not wonderful. This is terrible. So he got up and he said the bracha, Hodu LaHashem ki li olam chasdo. He left out half of the pasuk. And the Maharil was there at the bris, and the Maharil got up and he said, how dare you take out the words of the pasuk? Who are you to determine whether or not it's a good thing for this child to be in the world or a bad thing for the child to be in the world? And he said, it doesn't make a difference how the child came about. We don't decide to take away the bracha that every other Jewish child has at the bris milah. And therefore he said, we should say it the way it was normally said, even though this child came about from a union that was not really sanctioned, from something that really should not have been done, even though she was a pnuya, she was not married. Still, says the Maharil, this is not something that we should punish the child for, and therefore, he said, we should go ahead and say the bracha as normal. However, the Rama says, when we have a bris milah of a mamzer, rachmana litzlan, if we have that every so often, so the Rama says in the name of the Maharil, that there we have to make a clear demarcation at the bris that this child is a mamzer. Why? Because, as we know, if a child is born out of a couple where they don't keep taras hamashpacha, the child is a Jewish child anyways, totally legitimate, he can marry anyone. If a child is born from a mother who may not have been married when she gave birth to the child, doesn't make a difference. The child is a legitimate child. When you have a mamzer, that has very important ramifications. We have to know who's allowed to marry this child and who is not. And therefore, the Rama says in the name of the Maharil that when you ever have a situation of a bris of a mamzer, one has to be very careful to make a clear demarcation at the bris, and make sure not to recite all of these tefillos and bakashas on behalf of the child, in order that everyone should know with clarity that this child is not the same as every other, and this child is a mamzer, which is a very humiliating thing to do, but yet the Rama says at the same time, we have to look out for our community. Yichus is something that's very important in the Jewish community, and we cannot have mamzerim that are going to somehow float into the yichus of the Jewish people. So that's what he writes. In fact, the Taz takes it a step further, and he says, in order that everybody should know what's going on, the Taz says, even though we normally do the bris milah at the front of the Beis HaKnesses, when we have a bris milah of a mamzer, we're going to make it by the doorway of the Beis HaKnesses, that everybody should know clearly there's something unusual about the mitzvah that we're performing today that is not the same as every other. So I saw something very interesting. In the official psakim of the Rabbanut in Yerushalayim, they have a very beautiful collaboration. It's called Piskei Dinim Rabbanim. So they have all the different cases that came up before the Rabbanut, and many of them are disputes and choshen mishpat and agunas and many different stories. It's interesting. So here, what is the official psak of the Rabbanut when it comes to a child who's a mamzer and we have to give that child a bris milah? It can happen in Eretz Yisrael much easier than it can happen here, because in Eretz Yisrael you have many Jews who aren't religious and yet they have to go through the Israeli system which is run by the Rabbanut. So the question is, how are we supposed to deal with that? So they have their very interesting discussion about it, and they say that we have a testimony, Shekein Asa Bidoreno Hamoel Hayashish Rabbi Yisrael Yitzchak. There was some old moel who did this. Sha'asa Maisa, he followed what it says in the Ramah. V'hichriz b'milas ha-mamzer k'dinah shulchan aruch. He got up by the bris milah of a mamzer. He was asked to be the moel. He asked, what's the story with the child? The child was a mamzer. He got up and he said, want everyone to know this is the bris of a mamzer, and we're going to do it at the back of the shul, and we're going to make it different than every other bris milah. Umiyada yitzarach levrach pen yaku. He had to run out of the room because everybody wanted to stone him. How do you do such a thing? How do you humiliate the family? So that's the story that they write. Then they bring another story. Shekeinasa ha-mo'el ha-rav Florsheim b'chaifa. I don't know who it is, but obviously there was a mo'el in Haifa who had the same story many years ago, and he says there was also a mo'el, Rabbi Yosef Weisberg in Yerushalayim, who was once asked to go to Shari Tzedek and perform a bris milah. He comes there and he finds out that it's a bris milah for a mamzer, and he says, v'huku behelem, and they wanted to stone him because he went out of line and he decided to humiliate the family. So, yes, again, the Rama says this is what one is supposed to do, but practically, is it what we do? Might not be such a good idea. I'm not one to say that the Rama is wrong, but here in the Piskei Dinim Rabbanim from Yerushalayim, they suggest that those who try to make a clear distinction by the bris milah of a mamzer didn't come out unscathed from what they did. So this is something to consider if one is ever, unfortunately, in that scenario. In a regular case, which is about 99% of the brisim that we go to, this is never an issue at all, or 99.9% of the brisim we go to, this is not an issue we have to worry about. But there is a very fundamental issue that is raised by the Baal HaItur, which comes up at every single bris milah. We mentioned that the Gaonim had instituted that after we perform a bris milah, we fill up a cup of wine, we say Borei Pri HaGafen, and then we recite a whole bunch of tefillos and bakashas. So we say Kayemes HaYelad HaZeh, we say V'Yikari Shemo B'Yisrael, we say a whole bunch of other tefillos at that time. Now, the problem that the Bala Iter raises, the Bala Iter was one of the great Gedolim, one of the great Rishonim in Provence, in France, in the 1100s. So the Bala Iter is faced with a problem, and he says, how can you recite a Borei Pri HaGafen right after the bris, and then you're not going to drink the wine, and you're going to wait until you finish saying all those brachas and all those paragraphs and naming the child that everyone's kissing and hugging, and then, after you're done with all that, then you're going to drink the wine? Isn't that a hefsik? Let's say a person sits down to eat lunch today, and they decide, Hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz, you're going to make a bracha, and now you're going to go run upstairs to go check the news, and then you're going to go talk to your children, then you're going to go pick up the phone, and then you're only going to go and eat your sandwich. That doesn't work. You can't make such a hefsik between the bracha on the food and the food that you're eating. So too over here. How can I recite a Borei Pri HaGafen and then have a hefsik with all of these tefillos in between? They're very nice tefillos, very nice bakashos, but what is the justification not to drink from the wine immediately? So the Bala Iter writes three suggestions. Number one, writes the Bala Iter, there are some who have the practice to drink it immediately, right after you make the Borei Pri HaGafen, before you move on to the other brachas that you're going to make, you drink the wine right away. This way you don't have any problem at all. That is suggestion number one. Suggestion number two, he says, is we send the wine to the child who just had the bris milah, and we give a little bit of the wine to the kid, and therefore it's not like the bracha was a bracha levatala, and the bracha goes on something, which is a very problematic statement, because the Beis Yosef writes, the child who has just had his bris milah, is 8 days old, doesn't even understand what a bracha means, is not obligated to recite a bracha. So what does it help us to get out of our issue of a bracha levatala and make a Borei Pri HaGafen? We're going to give the wine to the child who just had his bris milah, what does that help us? You have to have an adult, or at least the child who understands, to get us out of this issue of a bracha levatala. So that's suggestion number two. Suggestion number three is, whenever we have something that is being said, because it is a tefillah or a bakasha that is relevant to the mitzvah that we're doing, that would not constitute a hefsik at all. So even though it's true you're reciting Borei Pri HaGafen, and you might wait another minute and a half until you actually drink the wine, since everything you're doing in the interim is an integral part of the mitzvah of bris milah itself, that wouldn't constitute a hefsik. Now that is also a very surprising statement, but interestingly enough, the Bala Iter in Hilchos Lulav discusses that as well. So he writes, there were many Rishonim, or many Gaonim, who had the practice that on Sukkis, when they used to shake the lulav, they would also say some psukim along with the shaking of the lulav. The Gemara Masechta Sukkah writes that when one shakes the lulav in all the different directions, it's supposed to be to scare off all the mazikim and to get all the horrible things that might come to the Jewish people out of the way. So there were those who used to say psukim along. So am I allowed to say those psukim before I shake the lulav? Isn't that a hefsik between the bracha al netilas lulav and the performance of my mitzvah? There, once again, writes the Bala Iter, that would not be a hefsik, because after all, everything that I'm reciting now is not just Dvarim B'Telem. Everything I'm saying has something that is connected back to the mitzvah of lulav, and therefore there is no problem at all. And there in Hilchos Lulav, he brings a proof from our case by bris milah. After all, when it comes to a bris milah, we recite Borei Pri HaGafen, and then before we drink the wine, we go ahead and say all these other tefillos and bakashas, which have absolutely no significance at all, and no relevance to the Borei Pri HaGafen that was recited. So this is an important question, but it comes up in other areas as well. Let's say the Tur in Ar HaChaim discusses, what about when a person benches? So the Ikar HaDin of benching is, you're supposed to really bench alakos with a cup of wine when you have a mezumen. After benching is over, you're supposed to say Borei Pri HaGafen. But you're not going to recite the Borei Pri HaGafen until after you finish saying the Harachamans. But the Harachaman is not really a part of benching. We just added it on. So the Tur says, how do you have a right to wait until after you recite the Harachamans, and only afterward are you going to say the Borei Pri HaGafen? Isn't that also a hefsik? So this comes up over there. It comes up once again, let's say the Magen Avraham discusses it. What is the proper way for a person to eat the Simanim al Rosh Hashanah? So some people pick up an apple, and they say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Borei Pri HaEitz. Then they say Yehi Ratzon, whatever it is, whatever the tefillah is that you want to say, and then they eat the apple. Ask the Magen Avraham, isn't that a hefsik? How are you allowed to eat the apple only after you've talked about something else, or said Yehi Ratzon, or a tefillah, bakasha? How are you allowed to be mapsik? So the Magen Avraham says it's true. The Bala Iter does write over here by bris milah that as long as whatever you're doing has something to do with the mitzvah that you're involved in, it wouldn't constitute a hefsik, but he says me'ikara din, it's not really the right thing to do. Really, you should make the bracha Borei Pri HaEitz, take a bite of the apple, and only after you take the bite should you recite the tefillah. So this became a major issue, and the question is, what is the proper practice when it comes to a bris milah? And there are many, many great gedolim who said Rav Moshe has a tshuva about it. Rabbi Kivager is quoted as saying the same thing, that one should be careful that when they are the ones to say the Bar Pri Hagafen out of Bris Milah, you should try before they go on to the extra bracha of Kayemes Hayelad Hazeh, onto the extra tefillah that we recited at Bris Milah, one should be careful to try and drink the cup of wine, or at least to be toim a little bit of the wine, in order that it shouldn't get involved in this issue that the Balei Yitzer raised of how are we going to make a hefsik between the bracha of Bar Pri Hagafen and the actual drinking of the wine. Rav Chanani ben